Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Morda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorton, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib.
I'm boxing.
And we have a great show for you today. And if you want to call and ask questions, you can call in right now, 323-870-3857. And we're going to be here till about probably about 8 o'clock tonight, somewhere around there. And tonight, we're going to talk about more fallout from the Deontay Wilder-Mark Breland debacle. And guys, there's been a Demetrius Andrade sighting, and we'll tell you all about that. But first, we get started with DAZN. Got to be the upset of the year so far, Beeb. Got to be. No question.
Definitely.
No, I know it's only February 14th, but, I mean, you know, I mean, it's still pretty good. Still pretty good. Mauricio Lara versus Josh Warrington. Lara shocks the world with a ninth-round TKO over Josh Warrington. I tell you what, you have to feel good for Lara, who was written off by just about everyone, except friend of the show, Chakal. Chakal said he won a small fortune on this. Did he tell you about this? He actually bet on Lara? He actually bet like $30 on Lara and ended up getting like $350 or something crazy?
$400, he said.
Was it $400?
Send me $400.
Wow. Yeah, that was a good bet. JC in the chat said he actually picked Lara. So, yeah.
Sure he did.
I picked Lara by a ninth round TKO also. So there you go. Everybody had Lara. Oh, man. Rue 504, salute. Josh Warrington had not fought in 16 months leading into this fight, and it really showed, man. Lara was throwing bombs for all nine rounds. Both of them were really credit to both of them because they were both throwing shots. There was just not a lot of defense in this fight at all, man. Warrington was knocked down in the fourth, and I'll be honest, man, I have no idea how he made it out of that fourth round. I really don't. It was one of those that I thought he was just – he was out. You know what I mean? He was wobbling everywhere. Looked like they were moving the ring on him. I mean, it was just – he was all but out. Lara was catching him clean all night, though. And the end came in the ninth. It was a big left hand. It was like a barrage of left hands that actually ended that fight. Warrington was out. No shape to continue as the fight was actually stopped immediately as soon as he went down. Sad thing about Warrington actually gave up, and we talked about this before the fight last week. Warrington gave up his title rather than rematch Kid Galahad. He was looking for bigger fights, even though he didn't have any big fights lined up. He just gave up the title. So now that plan goes by the boards, man. Eddie Hearn said after the fight he'll basically need a long rest to recover. You know, he had just 16. He already had. This is a tough one here because he just had 16 months off. I don't think giving him a lot of time is going to help his cause. That being said, he took a beating in this fight, and I get where Hearn is coming from, but did he take a beating because he wasn't active? Did he take a beating because he's lost a step? Did he take a beating because this guy is just that good? I don't know.
They were blaming COVID.
They were COVID.
So apparently COVID only affects the favorites in fights, not the underdogs. Because Lara had to deal with the same things that Warrington did. His COVID in Mexico too. So,
yeah, right. Yeah. I mean,
you know, and once again, you know, I have nothing against Warrington personally, but the bias towards this guy, he just the UK bias towards this guy, whether it be commentators, fans, journalists, everyone over there loves this guy. He could do no wrong.
Yeah.
So they made up a million and one excuses why he lost yesterday. instead of just giving the kid Lara credit. And with all due respect to Lara, all he was basically doing was walking Warrington down.
Yeah.
Like, Warrington had no legs. He had no legs in that fight at all. And then he got hurt. Both guys were couldn't miss each other with the left hook. Well, I mean, Warrington landed a few big ones early, and you could see Lara's right eye was definitely swelling up. And maybe he saw that his eye was swelling up, and that kind of gave him a false sense of security and gave him too much confidence. And, once he started getting rattled, he should have moved a little bit, went in and out, tried to hold, but he just stayed in that pocket.
That's not his style.
It's not his style. And like I said, it's like when a shark smells blood. Maybe he saw that eye getting puffed up really bad, and maybe he thought that he could get Lara out of there, And maybe he wasn't in the greatest of shape, so that's probably why he went for the knockout, tried to blast Lara out of there early. And once that didn't happen, he was just so persistent on continuing with the same game plan, and he couldn't deviate from that mindset of maybe this guy's not going anywhere. Because he was hitting him with some good left hooks, and the kid was recovering. He's a 22-year-old hungry lion.
You know,
great condition, and this kid could punch a little bit. So
worst thing you could do is take a Mexican fighter as a stepping stone, man. We don't lay down, baby. We're coming to fight, B.
We don't lay
you
down.
You know we're coming to fight, B. We.
I'm Mexico's adopted son, baby.
You're ambassador. You're ambassador from Mexico.
From Boston.
That's right, baby.
All right, Leighton Evelyn is saying, everyone is saying Warrington's a bum. I never said that. I never said that.
All I'm saying is he's like, he walks on water over there in the UK.
Yeah, yeah. He says, let me tell you, this is the worst Warrington I've ever seen. If he aged overnight, maybe, but Josh is used to stadium fights. I guess he's talking about, I guess he's used to bigger fights. Listen, man, if you can fight, you can fight. If you can fight in a big stadium, you can fight in it all takes place in the gym anyway. That's where all the fights take place. You know what I'm saying? You build and you build and you build. Your main fight is out in the stadium or whatever the case may be. Listen, I don't buy the fact that because you had no audience, you didn't show up. I just don't. I don't. So, I disagree with the fact that Warrington, listen, the guy lost.
Well, once again,
a million and one excuses
why he lost. So he can only fight in stadiums. He can't fight in small halls. I mean,
it's COVID.
Again,
it was this. It was that. Listen, the guy, he ran into a guy who could take a shot. That's the problem.
Remember that movie Lionheart? When Jean-Claude Van Damme, when he had those fights,
when
he would fight like in empty freaking warehouses. He
Van Damme can
cages.
Do it.
Anywhere you put him, he had a fight. He still won the fight.
Always won,
no matter where you put him. That's how you have to be in professional boxing. You have to be able to go anywhere, any place, anytime.
You have to be a Jean-Claude Van Damme.
You want
to
be a world champion.
Chael Sonnen had a really good saying. He says, he says, I'm not going to fight you in your hometown or anywhere else. I'm going to fight you in a cage, and you could set that thing up anywhere. And that's how it should be,
They were fighting everywhere in that movie Lionheart. Parking garages, on top of the penthouses. He never made an excuse.
Yeah. I mean, he's good. He was good. Fought everywhere.
Everywhere.
He fought in that tournament, that blood sport tournament. You remember that? He won that.
Remember Charles Bronson, Hard Times?
Oh, that was good. You remember that movie? Oh, that was too good, right?
He used to fight on loading docks.
Clint Eastwood. Remember Any Which Way But Loose with the monkey? He used to fight everywhere. He fought that guy in an airplane hangar.
These guys never made excuses where they fought.
Yeah.
Please. Even the Bead back in the day, we'd be in clubs. We'd have to throw down. School playgrounds. We'd be shooting hoops. Things used to pop off. We used to throw down. We never made excuses. You don't know nothing about that in Ohio. But back here in B-Town, we had to throw down. When we threw down, we threw down. We didn't care where we were. When something popped off, we had to get busy. That's how it is.
You're in the heart of the concrete jungle over there.
No, it is here in the big city. I can't make excuses like that.
You know, what do you think about, you know, I got to be honest. So as I'm watching Lara fight, I didn't think that he was that well, you know, like, I mean, obviously he's a world-class fighter because he's at this level, okay? But I think he would have problems going forward. I don't know, but that's just how I look at it. Listen, I hope he gets a huge payday out of it because he really deserves it. You know, so
I got to be honest, and this is no disrespect to Lara or it's no disrespect to Warrington. He really wasn't doing anything sophisticated. I mean, he kept coming forward and just loading up with the left hook, and Warrington just couldn't get out of the way from it for whatever reason. I'm not trying to minimize what he did. I'm not trying to take away from the performance. The kid showed heart. He showed determination. He was in phenomenal condition. Phenomenal
for
condition.
For as many punches as he threw and he
kept
took,
coming.
He was in good shape, man.
So the only thing I could say was maybe it was the pressure, that constant pressure, and he never slowed up. And maybe Warrington did have some issues. Maybe he wasn't in the best of shape because his legs went early in that fight. They were
fourth
gone
round.
Early in that fight.
Fourth round, yeah.
After four rounds, like, he was done.
Yeah, you know, I tell you what, man. This was karma. It really was, because he dropped that rather than take the title shot with Kid Galahad. He dropped the belt and then said he's going to fight Gary Russell or he's going to fight somebody else. Come on, man.
I mean, he completely
overlooked this guy. He wasn't even thinking about this guy.
I'm sorry. I'm a little biased against Josh Warrington because I thought that Kid Galahad won that fight. And I know it's not his fault, but the way he acted after that fight, like...
Like, what are you talking about? Yeah.
Oh, this was a blowout. Why should I get... No, it wasn't a blowout. You lost the fight. I mean, at the very least, you could have at least said the fight was close to save face. Like, he was like, why should I rematch him? This was a blowout. I beat him decisively. He doesn't deserve a rematch.
Give me a break, man.
And I just didn't like the way he handled himself after that fight with Kid Galahad. I thought he should have showed a little bit more grace, and he should have showed a little more class.
Lost that
and fight. And he should have took his hat off to Kid Galahad, in my opinion. So
lost that fight clear. I thought it was clear as day, man.
Yeah, I had to fight 8-4 for Kid Galahad. I don't even think the fight was close.
No, I don't think the fight was close at all.
Could have even made it 9-3 if I wanted to, but I tried to, you know, be fair to...
I thought for sure that was like a 9-3 type of fight, so...
Yeah, 9-3, 8-4.
Yeah.
I thought he clearly won the fight.
Yeah.
So I had a little bit of bias against Warrington, whether it was justified or not. I just didn't like... The fact that Kid Galahad never got a rematch, and I didn't like his attitude after the fight. He was very dismissive of Kid Galahad. Kid Galahad put on a phenomenal performance.
Yeah, Leighton Evelyn even had Kid Galahad winning. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty clear performance. Where does Warrington go from here, man? Because I tell you what, the blueprint has been laid out twice now how to beat this guy. It's been laid out once by Galahad, and it has been laid out pressure is breaking this guy. Because that's what the guy did. He walked him down.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. They'll probably have a rematch. Eddie Hearn has, like, a rematch clause for every
and
fight.
And he did have a rematch clause for this one, yeah.
No matter who you're fighting. That's one good thing about Eddie Hearn is if you're fighting if you're one of his fighters, you automatically have a rematch clause. You could be fighting freaking Bozo the Clown. You're getting a rematch clause. Doesn't matter. You could be fighting freaking Barney or Elmo. You're getting a rematch clause no matter who you're fighting.
You put him back in here with this guy? Or do you get a lighter touch?
Eddie Hearn said his intention was to put him back in here with this guy if he wanted it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where you go. I'll be honest. I don't know where you go if you're Warrington.
I would put him right back in with this guy. I would.
You know.
I would.
Anyway, you know, it would have been hard for Josh Warrington to make those fights anyway with Gary Russell and Zukan and everybody. I mean, those are tough fights to make for him.
He was so obsessed with that Zukan fight. I don't know why. I don't know why. Because that was the main reason why he vacated his belt. And I understand that, you know, you get sick of dealing with these BS mandatories. But again, you know, you fight the mandatories and you just
You have mandatories in every organization.
Yeah, as soon as you get them out of the way, like no matter what, you're going to win a title. You're going to have to fight mandatory. So there's no way around that. You can get exceptions, whatever, if the big fights are there.
Right.
But you know, you fight the mandatories and then you move on to the bigger fights. That's just how it is. You like credit to Joshua. Like people talk shit about Joshua. Oh, he's gonna get stripped of the WBO title. He's gonna allow himself to get no. What evidence do we have to suggest that? He's been champion since 2016, and as soon as he unified that title, he had never, ever, ever not fought a mandatory. He never said, the hell with this, the hell with that, I'm going to let this title go, I don't want to fight this guy. He's like one of the only guys in the history of sport of boxing that never got stripped of his title. Lennox Lewis got stripped because he didn't want to fight Johnny Ruiz. Tyson got stripped because he wouldn't fight Lennox Lewis. Friggin' Riddick Bowe friggin' vacated the title because he didn't want to fight Lennox Lewis. You know, and Tyson Fury, when he beat Klitschko, he allowed himself to get stripped of the IBF title. So all these guys have a history of themselves, you know, allowing themselves to get stripped of a portion of the title once they had a unified version of it, right?
Yep.
Not Joshua. So I just don't think Joshua, you know, is gonna let go of any of those belts easily. He's gonna fight to keep all of them. So, you know.
Yeah.
We'll see how that plays out, too.
All right. On the zone, Jojo Diaz versus Shavkatstan Rakhimov for the IBF junior lightweight title. Jojo Diaz and Rakhimov fought to a draw, Beeb. Scores were 115, 113 for Diaz, and then 114 by the other two, 114 up on the other two. Diaz weighed 3.6 pounds over the limit. So he really lost the title on the scales. Only Rakhimov was actually able to win it, and he didn't do it, so now the title remains vacant. Beeb, I'm going to ask you a very simple question. How do you come in, how do you weigh in on weigh-in day, 3.6 pounds over?
Unfathomable.
Really? You have a corner, right? You have trainers in the corner that should have been weighing you every day up until that point. Why on earth was he almost 4 pounds over?
Because he had no intentions of making the weight.
It had to be, right? I mean, why though? I mean, why? He's had some issues in the past too, and we won't go into them. But I mean, he's definitely had his issues in the past. What's going on with this guy, man?
I think that he has a hard time with discipline.
Yeah.
You know, I think when he's not fighting, he allows himself to live the good life. Some of these guys, when they're not fighting, like some of these guys, if they weren't fighters, they wouldn't go to the gym. Like some of these guys are just not the types of people who like to work out, like to keep themselves in shape. They'd rather just chill and party all day or enjoy themselves all day or relax all day, you know? And he's not the only fighter in the history of the sport to be that way. A lot of fighters just did not – like Muhammad Ali was another guy who hated to train. He just didn't enjoy training.
Well, look at Duran. I mean, he used to blow up between fights, you know?
Yeah.
Put on a lot of weight before fights.
Duran was a guy who just liked to eat, you know? So,
yeah.
You know, I guess everyone has their vices, but you know, there's a lot of fighters out there who just do it. I hate to say this, there's a lot of guys do it just for the money. They don't eat, sleep, and drink the sport of boxing. Like Andre Ward was always in shape because he loved the sport of boxing. Say what you want about Floyd Mayweather, he loved to box. He loved to fight. He loved the game. Bernard Hopkins loved to fight.
Always in shape.
And you have guys like James Toney.
Yeah.
Riddick Bowe,
yeah.
Buster Douglas, Jojo Diaz, Big Baby Miller.
You know, with Diaz, you know, even, here. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Even Tyson Fury,
yeah.
You know, he enjoys his party and sometimes too.
Sure.
He goes through his ups and downs with his conditioning as well.
Absolutely, man. You know, again, man, 3.6, almost 4 pounds over. He was lucky that he was able to fight. I think he was lucky that they actually sanctioned the fight. Because he was in California. What do you say? You told me that 2 pounds was a 2 pounds, and then you can't even make weight.
If you're more than 2 pounds over the weight limit, they will not allow you to get on the scale a second time.
Yeah.
You're done. You can't be more than 2 pounds over. They won't give you a second chance to weigh in if you're more than 2 pounds over.
Right.
And I understand that because that becomes a safety issue after that.
I absolutely get it. Absolutely.
But if you're his opponent, you have every right to say, hey, you know what? I don't want to fight this guy.
Mm-hmm.
But to his credit, the following day, he still was within the IBF's 10-pound, weight limit.
Guideline, yeah.
So you can't. So if you're fighting for a 130-pound title, you can't be more than 140 pounds a day after the fight. So they don't allow you to gain more than 10 pounds. So, he did not gain more than 10 pounds.
So let me ask you a question, and it may be different for different sanctioning things and everything. Or different promoters and that kind of thing. I guess it depends on how the contract reads. So if he shows up and makes weight, and the other guy doesn't make weight, and he says, you know what, I'm not going to fight him, does he still get paid? Because contractually, from what I understood, that when you show up and you make weight, you've technically showed. You know what I'm saying? Like, you technically showed up, you've done what you were supposed to do, and then all you got to do is get in there and fight. But if there is no fight, I mean,
I think that would have to be up to the, I think that's up to the promoter.
Yeah.
It's up to the promoter, to be perfectly honest with you.
I mean, because
I know in the UFC, if the fighter makes weight and the other fighter doesn't, and the fight gets called off, the other fighter gets compensated.
Right. That's where I'm thinking about.
I think in boxing, it's up to the promoter.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Did you think the fight was a draw?
I thought Diaz edged it out. I had it 115 and 113 for Diaz. I thought Diaz came on late in the fight. I thought, how do you say that guy's name again?
Rakhimov.
Rakhimov. I thought that he faded. I thought Diaz won the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th. I gave him the last four rounds. I thought he was doing well. I thought he was having Rakhimov run into his left hand. He was sucking him into traps a little bit. And, he would be aggressive, but then he would kind of fall back and let Rakhimov come to him. And he was showing a lot of versatility. I thought he looked sharp with the left hand last night. And I thought that when he got inside, I thought that he was using a lot of physical strength. And I think he was out muscling Rakhimov. Could have been with the extra poundage, who knows. But, he definitely seemed to be he had more left in the tank in the later rounds, and I think he was wearing Rakhimov out. I think Rakhimov, I think he expended a lot of energy early in that fight because he was throwing a lot of punches too, and I think that he started to fade later in the fight. And Jojo Diaz, this was full credit to him. I mean, he seemed to still be in shape regardless of being overweight. So I don't know. He still looks to be in good condition regardless of how heavy he was. So I don't know if, there was anything wrong in his training or he just said, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to weigh whatever I want to weigh. So,
yeah, I was going to say, I mean, if he didn't have to cut weight, I mean, there's no real reason for him to be drained.
But he did look in great shape.
Yeah.
I thought he put on a good performance last night, to be perfectly honest with you. I thought he looked sharp,
As a promoter, though, you got to, right, when this guy, he's had his fair share of problems, man. This has got to be a guy that, you got to talk about, like, do we really put him on a main event card? Do we really main event this kid or do we co-main him?
Well, to his credit, we have to say this, or at least I believe this. He's a good, he always puts on a great performance. He's a fan-friendly fighter to watch.
Of course,
I enjoy watching him fight. I don't think he's ever been in a bad fight, to his credit. And he has a ton of heart. And whether or not he makes weight or not, no matter what he does outside of that ring, when he's in that ring the night of the fight, gives it his all. And make no mistake about it, I'm not giving the guy a pass. But I just think that it's amazing with all of these mishaps that he's still able to get in that ring that night
and
fight as well as he does.
Sure.
You know, and I, I thought he won last night. I thought it was a close fight, but I can't argue against the draw. But I had him winning 115 and 113. I admire the fact that he finished the fight strong. You know, he knew he lost some of those middle rounds. He bit down on his mouthpiece and he grinded it out in the end. You know,
went to another place, different gear. You know,
yeah,
different
yeah.
gear. On the undercard there, Patrick Teixeira versus Brian Castano. For the WBO junior middleweight title, Castano defeats Teixeira by a score of unanimous decision, 120 to 108, 119, 109, and 117, 111. Babe, was it that lopsided?
Yeah, it clearly was.
Pretty lopsided. Now, the rumor is that he's going to fight Charlo next, or they're trying to set up a Charlo fight.
Yeah.
You like that fight?
I love that fight because I'll tell you one thing. Castano, when he wants to, he can move. He has very fast feet. He's very explosive. I guess the knock on him sometimes is he lunges in,
mm-hmm.
but he's so quick on his feet that he can get away with it. He's got very quick hands. So he's got that kind of in-and-out ambush-type style, and I thought he beat Lara clearly. I mean, that was a bad decision, that draw. So because of his movement, and he can punch as well, and because of his movement, his explosiveness, and he's a physically strong guy too as well, because he was mauling to share on the inside. He was
mm-hmm.
just bullying him, throwing him around like he was nothing. I think his movement and his quickness and explosiveness, and particularly his quickness on his feet, could give Charlo some problems. But Charlo can punch like a mule. He can punch. He's a heavy hitter. He's a
heavy hand guy. Yeah,
he's a strong kid. He's in phenomenal condition himself. I actually love that fight. I would definitely have to favor Charlo.
Yeah,
you know, Charlo has shown that he knows how to win. He knows how to dig down deep. He knows how to really pour it on. You know, he doesn't fade late in the fight. His power is just as good, you know, at the end of the fight as it is in the beginning of the fight. This kid's got a lot of heart. He's got a lot of he's got a killer instinct. He's got a lot of drive. He's got a lot of dog in him. You know what I mean? And because of that, I think he's just a hard guy to wear down. I mean, his not only his physical strength and his physical attributes, but he's just a mentally determined, strong guy.
Right.
And it's hard to deter this guy. You know, he just when he flips that switch, he's a killer. Plain and simple, he's a killer.
Good deal. On the undercard there, Shane Mosley won via fifth round TKO. Shane Mosley Jr. That is, he's 17-3 now. I think he's 17-3 or something like that.
Yeah. Not too high on this kid. I mean, there's a lot of defensive liabilities with him. Keeps his head straight up in the air.
It's gonna be uphill for him. I'll put it that way. It'll be uphill
yeah.
if he fights anybody with any upper echelon guys. It's gonna be tough for him.
Because his defense is so porous. I actually fear for him when he gets in there with a really tough guy who can punch a little bit and he knows how to fight. He could get hurt in there, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. Beck the Bully also won via third round TKO with his patented left hand to the body. It was a left hand that set it up, boom, and that guy just dropped, man. That's what he's known for, man. He's got that left hook that goes to the body that can put you away. I mean, and he knows where to place it. He's strong. He's a big guy.
He's no joke.
I really wanted to see him fight Kovalev. I really did.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
He's like a little fire plug in there, man. He's like stocky. He's got a low center of gravity.
Man, that guy can fight. That guy can fight, man. I tell you what, that guy can fight.
He's a strong kid.
Yeah. ESPN, Joe Smith Jr. versus Maxim Vlasov. For the title. For the title, Beeb. Canceled. Due to COVID. Vlasov had been diagnosed a couple days prior to that with COVID. So the co-main becomes the main, and that was Richard Comey versus Jackson Marinez. Comey knocks out Jackson Marinez in the sixth round. Comey looked good in this fight. He looked really good in this fight. I thought he dominated. I thought he looked good throughout. He landed hard shots, dropped Marinez in the sixth. Marinez beat the count, and just seconds later, Comey hit him with a gigantic overhand right that just knocked him right into the ropes, and he just fell down and just dropped, man. Comey looked really good. He really did. But I'm not 100% sure where he goes next. And I heard a lot of people saying, well, what about Rolly Romero? Rolly Romero is over on the other side, isn't he? Isn't he with, like, Floyd's fighter or whatever?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a title fight. I'm not 100% sure that fight gets made.
I thought Lou DiBella promoted Comey, even though that was a top-ranked card. I'm not so sure.
You may be right. You may be right.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he's a top-ranked fighter. I don't know.
Yeah. We've seen him on top rank quite a bit, though. I mean, but we've also seen him fight Robert Easter and everybody else. So, yeah, it could be a DiBella fighter, and it could be, you know.
So DiBella could be working deals with these guys, kind of loaning his fighter out.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, you know, listen, man, I like Comey. I think he's got a good upside. But listen, I mean, he's let's brass tacks. He's not getting a shot against Teofimo again. That fight ain't going to happen.
I heard Teofimo's going to move up. He may just move up right up to 140. That's what I heard.
If that's the case, then doors open up for Comey. But as long as Teofimo's in that division, he's going to have a tough time, man.
No, we did a show. I did a show with B Style Show, Hispanics Cause a Panic, last Thursday. And we kind of previewed the lightweight division. And we all gave one fighter who we thought was the dark horse in the division. And I said Richard Comey, because let's face it, you know, this kid could fight. He got caught cold against Teofimo Lopez. They were both throwing a right hand at the same time. Teofimo's got there first, put him out, whatever. But Comey could fight. I thought he beat Easter. I had him winning the Easter fight.
Easter's from Title Town.
Yeah, there's another fight. Who did he fight? He fought a Russian. Did he fight the Russian guy too? No. Easter fought that Russian guy. What's that guy's name?
Knocked him out. I don't know that Russian dude.
But
doesn't matter.
You know, Comey's always been a tough, strong grinder in there. And, you know, everyone just says, well, all he's got is a right hand. But he's very sophisticated with that right hand, because he can, you know, he could throw it off the jab. He could suck you into a short right hand counter. He could throw it over the top. So it's not like he just throws that right hand one way in a predictable manner.
Yeah.
Over and over again, he throws different variations of that right hand, and he just has a way of being able to open guys up. And he's a very crafty fighter, but not only crafty, he's gritty. He's strong. He's physically imposing on the inside. I think he has a lot of talent. He's got a lot of different skills that he brings to the table. He's very versatile, you know, and he's got power.
Yeah.
He's got power. So I think he's a tough out for anybody. And I thought that was going to be a tough fight for Teofimo Lopez, but you know, he got caught cold. I'm not ready to write this guy off. I still think he's a threat in the division.
I think he is too. I just wonder where he's going to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because clearly he's got the goods to become champion. But again, they're not going to put him in there with Teofimo, who owns all the belts right now. And then, you know, you got Rolly Romero, who's the interim. And again, he's a Floyd guy.
Here's the thing. When Teofimo moves up, those titles all become vacated, and that'll open the doors up for a lot of.
But until then, he's going to have to wait his shot. He's going to have to wait his turn.
Well, we'll see. I mean, he got a good win. Maybe they'll throw him in there with Verdejo. That's a good fight.
That's a decent fight. Yeah, that's a good fight.
You know, maybe Fortuna.
Yeah.
It's another good fight. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, they got all this talent out there, and again, I was just thinking about this today. Again, with all the talent that we have out here, and it's just like gridlock. You know, nobody wants to fight each other. Nobody wants to, you know. And they say they want to fight each other. They all say the right things. Everybody says the right things. Oh, I want this guy next. I want this guy next, blah, blah, blah. And none of these fights ever materialize, you know, because of promotions or whatever the case, or somebody wants too much money or whatever. Georgie says 508, stop talking to the world. Georgie, you're not on. If you're on, I'll put you on, but you're not on. I love when he does this, and he never comes on.
He's got that trap phone. I mean, he can't get through all the time.
Exactly. All right, let's talk about the upcoming fights. And, man, I tell you what, we've got a big one next week. Let's see here. So February 17th in Uncasville, Connecticut on Showtime. Jameson Figueroa versus Mark Reyes Jr., 10 rounds, welterweights. This is on Showtime. This has got to be a Showbox card, I would think. Vladimir Shishkin versus Sena Abeko, 10 rounds, super middleweight. And let's see here. Let's see what else we got. February 9th, Wakefield, England on ESPN+. Plus. Sean McCone versus Gavin Gwynn, 12 rounds for the what are we doing here? Come on. What is this? That's got to be an MTK card.
Probably.
Come on, man. Stop it. Nobody's watching that. February 20th from Las Vegas, the big one. Miguel Bichelt versus Oscar Valdez, 12 rounds for Bichelt's WBC junior lightweight title. Steve, this is a good fight.
This is a phenomenal fight.
And let's circle back to that in a minute. The undercard here, Gabe Flores versus Jason Velez, 10 rounds, junior lightweights. Esquivo Falco versus Artur Akhavov, 10 rounds, middleweights on the undercard. Xander Zayas on the undercard. Sonny Kanto on the undercard. So pretty decent undercard there. And yeah, it's on ESPN,
yeah.
So you should be able to catch it on ESPN Plus like the undercard, I would think. February 20th, also on February 20th on Showtime from Uncasville, Connecticut, A.B. Baby's back. He's back, son. Cincinnati's own. Adrian Broner versus Jovani Santiago, 10 rounds, junior welterweight. So we'll talk about that one in just a second. Otto Wallen versus Dominic Brazil, the undercard there for 12 rounds or heavyweights. On the zone, February 20th from London, David Abanesian versus Josh Kelly, 12 rounds for Abanesian's European heavyweight title. Robbie Davies, I do too. Robbie Davies on the undercard versus Gabriel Valenzuela, 10 rounds, junior welterweights. And that's the action. Let's talk about, before we can talk about the Adrian Broner fight, let's talk about the Bichelt Valdez fight. This has been building and building for quite a while now, B. Everybody's wanting to see this. This is what they've been building for. This is a good fight. I think that Bichelt, after the last Valdez fight I saw, I think that Bichelt will have no problem in this fight. I think it'll be I think it may be competitive early, but I think Bichelt gets rid of him. I think Bichelt actually takes care of him, knocks him out.
Yeah. Problem with Valdez is he stays in the pocket a little bit too long. He allows himself to, you know, get to these slugfests, and his defense isn't the greatest. He's not the hardest puncher in the world. So
going against this guy, man.
Yeah. The type of style that he fights doesn't really suit his natural ability. You know, he's not an exceptional puncher.
Yeah.
Decent puncher. He's not an exceptional puncher. Again, he's not the greatest defensive fighter in the world. He gets hit a lot. Got his jaw broken against Scott Quigg. So the guy gets hit, he gets hit and he gets hurt. And you know, when you look at a guy like Bichelt is a technician. He's a technician.
He's good. As well as being a hard puncher, he's a very good boxer.
He's very good at placing his shots. He's very good at setting up his shots. He knows how to work his way inside, and once he gets there, he's hard to deal with because he's so good coming forward. Even though he's coming forward, still moves his head, keeps his hands up high, knows how to position his body up close where he can create the good punching angles for himself and make himself an elusive, compact target up close. Where Valdez is, you know, once he gets in that pocket, he's like a kamikaze, like do or die, you know. I'm willing to take two to put my one in there, you know. And sometimes he's too brave for his own good. And I think that's going to work against him, against a guy like Bichelt, who if you make a mistake, if you give him that opening, he's going to see it. He's going to, you know, he's going to be able to act on it quickly, and he's going to make you pay for any mistake you make. And like I said, Valdez, just his type of style, I think, has kind of taken years off his career. I think you can even argue he's slightly shop-worn at this point, to be very honest with you. And that sounds like a very strong word. And
harsh,
a little bit harsh, but
wow.
I've just seen him in too many tough fights, and I just don't like the fact that he's getting hit so much, especially in recent years. And I think eventually, if not now, it has probably taken its toll on it to some degree, and I think it may show up in this fight, in my opinion.
There you go. So we're both picking Burchell to win. You got him by knockout, or you think he goes to decision?
I think he's going to stop him. I'm going to say he stops him in about eight or nine rounds. I'm going to say ninth round stoppage.
I think it's going to be competitive early on. I think it's going to be competitive early on because I think that Valdez is going to come in. They're both going to be amped up. This is a big hyped-up fight, but I think at the end of the day, it's just like a chess. Just like in chess, you can hang with them until that mid-game, and once you start turning that corner later on, you're going to see who knows more. You know?
Well, the way Valdez is talking, like I'm going to make him, you know, I'm going to go in there and get my respect. I'm going to go in there and fight him. I'm not going to back down. I'm going to hold my ground. Whatever. He's talking with a lot of machismo, and if he's going to fight like he says he's going to fight, it could end early.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, you got a point.
It could end early. We'll see.
All right, let's talk about Adrian Broner, the return of AB. And let's see if I got this. Let me pull this up here. All right, so the return of AB. Are you excited about this? All of Cincinnati is going to be shut down next week watching this AB fight.
I'm happy about one thing.
What?
That bank account may possibly have more than $13.
More than $13 in it? Probably not. Probably for maybe 24 hours, that's about it.
Once everyone digs their hooks in it that he owes money to, it'll probably be back down to 13 again.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, have you ever seen anything like this, man? Have you ever seen anything like this?
Poor guy, man.
So he's fighting Giovanni Santiago. It was a pretty decent prospect. I got to be honest here. He's not bad. He's coming in there. You know, he's being brought in as a sacrificial lamb. I get that. He's 14-0. He's got 10 knockouts, one draw. Most notable win on his record was against DeMarcus Corley in 2017. Clearly, Corley way past his prime, but it was a big name nonetheless. He did what he was supposed to do. He won the fight.
Good old chop chop.
All of his fights, with the exception of a couple, have been in Puerto Rico. He's never been outside. He's never been to the United States. This is a setup fight, if I've ever seen one. You know, Broner was saying in an interview or whatever, I saw him, he was interviewed by TMZ, I think it was, or something like that. Says he thinks he has about 3 to 5 years left in him because he's kind of gotten rid of all his bad habits. He's focusing on the... You know, listen, here's the problem with that, is that sometimes, you know, when you're ready to buckle down and you're ready to get serious about something, sometimes that option's not available anymore.
Yeah.
Sometimes that option's just not there anymore. I mean...
Once you get into your 30s and you start abusing your body and damaging your body, it's easy to just flip the switch and just erase all that damage and reverse all that damage. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I'm sure there's going to be some type of residual effect from all of the party and all of the lifestyle.
The layoff, the 2-year layoff, not to mention the 2-year layoff.
Yeah, the bad lifestyle choices and all that stuff is going to – you just can't, like, snap your fingers and have that all go away.
Yeah. This guy last fought in in December 16th, 2020. So, but let's see here. But that being said, he had a year layoff from 2019. But he was fairly active. But,
I'm picking the upset.
He's slightly more active than Broner. You're taking Santiago? Listen, I mean, I'll be real honest.
Viva Puerto Rico.
I'll be real honest, babe. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I'll take Broner and everything like that, but I would not be surprised.
I'm taking the upset.
You're taking the upset. You know what? I don't fault you for that at all. I really don't.
Wait, it's a fight at 140?
I believe so.
Taking the upset.
Let me see if I can see here. Boxing schedule. Junior welterweight. So, yeah, 140. Do you think he makes weight? Do you think Broner actually makes weight?
Yeah, I think he does.
don't know.
I don't think he makes it comfortably, though.
I don't think if he does, yeah, I don't think he makes it comfortably either. I don't know, man. I really don't know. This is one of those fights I'm really interested to see how much he actually has left. Because, again, man, sometimes we've said it before here, man, and you know the feeling too. Sometimes you reach down to press that gas pedal and the car just doesn't go. That car doesn't move.
Lord, do I know that.
Right?
Lord, do I know that.
You know, you go to give it some gas and just there's nothing there, man.
I would give anything if I can get 10 years back.
Right?
I'm 51. I'd give anything just to be 41 again.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you said, it's, you know, and aging, you know, and you've taken care of yourself. You know, you've taken care of yourself. You're 51. You've taken care of yourself and everything like that. Talking about a guy who's out there partying, putting on weight, taking weight off, putting on weight. He was just in the courtroom. Listen, man, I hear what you say, but we've heard this over and over again. And what's I'm going to use a Dr. Phil reference. What's the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. So, you know, hey, listen, man, I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it. So, tough one. That's a tough one. That is a very tough one to call, man. All right. Georgie, 508, you're live.
Hey, yo! What's happening, people? Scracky Lashy up in this bitch.
Of the year.
Not really.
How dare you, babe? Call her
Georgie.
You
say, hey, babe, stop it. Let go, baby. It's okay. Let it go. Be fine. You're going to get old. You're going to die like everybody else. It's a process.
I'm turning into a crusty old man, Georgie.
Baby, I'm 49. I'm going to have the 5-0 coming up soon for me. I'm right there next to you. It ain't no thing.
You're gonna get your colonoscopy pretty soon.
We're here for a good time, for a long time, baby. Remember that. We're here for a good time. That's what we're here for. Fuck that long shit. Because you want to go around fucking 90 years old, shitting on your pants and shit? You don't even have one fucking real teeth? No tooth left? Come on, man. Stop it. Can't live forever, kid. Enjoy the ride. Listen, call me. Okay. Yo, it's hard not to like call me, man. It's hard not to fall in love with this man. This man is like so humble and shit. And the whole thing with fucking Tio, I don't know if the all this fucking promotion or bullshit, or if it is real love. But I'm sure to believe that it's real love between them. And that's a beautiful thing for humanity. That first of all. Second, I don't want no beef with the UK, baby, but you guys be selling you these dreams down there. These niggas be selling dreams everywhere. Judge, listen, I'm not Puerto Rican. I got all the love for my niggas. Verdejo got a real record. These niggas go there facing punches. Real thunder. Judge never seen thunder like that. He never seen thunder on his fucking life. That's the problem we got with fucking Billy Holland.
Dramatic.
Yo, let me run. This is the problem we got with Billy Holland. Billy Holland, the eye test, tell everybody in America to do solid, but he don't get tested. And you examine everybody here on this European side, and the record them as suspect on some of the anti-water shit. Dougie, we got to battle these masses across the sea, too. It ain't gravy like that. They've been saying a lot of fucking fiction. A lot of fiction. Yo, half of these motherfuckers face the competition, but they are full or Lara coming down on Mexico. This nigga would have no other records. None of these fucking old. And then... Yo, you heard the commentary on Skype from round one. We got the best lightweight in the world. Blah, blah, blah. And as he's going forward, the fight dude didn't know what to say and how to fucking hype on this man. They didn't know how to tell the UK that they be told a fucking lie. That shit was sad. He's there to be seen, but people refuse all the fucking nationalism shit, baby. What's right is right, what's wrong is wrong. This man is not top 10 in the world. That's facts. Mirage, baby. Bullshit. Listen, I don't have a lot to say besides the truth. That's pretty much it. Shout out to the UK, shout out to the USA, to the world, and I'm outie.
Georgie, caller of the year. How about that, babe?
I don't know, man. It gets hotter and hotter sometimes to decipher some of this stuff.
Tone says subtitles would be nice. Well, hey, you know what? The thing is that when you're in Rikers, they don't have the best connection over there. They don't. They don't.
They really don't.
516, this is New York.
Jesse Regan bodying people yesterday. He was bodying people yesterday in Connecticut, man, with some freestyle rap.
You were rapping in Connecticut yesterday? Were you doing like one of those, what do they call them, Beeb? Rap battles or whatever?
Battle rapping. He was representing New York, baby.
He was representing New York.
He had his Mets shirt on and everything, man. He was bodying that dude yesterday, bodying him.
Yo, B, thank you so much for that, man. And
some respect, man. Show some respect. Wipe that despicable smirk off your face and show some respect. NY, stand up! NY, stand up!
If you guys want to see my rap battle, hit me up at JesseRickin1. I'll send you the link. It's a $10 purchase.
On Vimeo.
But you get to see
it's
all.
It's a what?
It's on Vimeo.
$10.
$10
to watch you rap?
I copped my $10.
You copped your ten.
It was an hour and a half show. It was an hour and a half show. Just to me. It's not only me.
It's not only me.
Come on, it was worth every penny of it. Stop fronting.
What?
It's not only me. It's six battles.
You were the star. You were the star of it.
Thank you.
Did you go on first?
I think everybody.
Did you go on first?
Hmm?
Or were you like the main event?
How did you
determine who goes
not,
first? Is
I'm
it like
a
weight thing or like in boxing, like a card?
No,
how do you,
I'm not
how do you
main
determine
eventer.
Who goes like first and last?
Well, the main eventers are usually the people with the most views and like that get into battle rap the most. Like the two people that battle each other have like million view battles, you know, popularity, I would say.
Give me a freestyle now. Just give me like a freestyle. Give me something. Yeah.
I said, yo, Eric, you keep making fun of me. Me and you are going to see each other sooner, but you're going to back out the match like the opponent of Joe Smith Jr.
That didn't even rhyme. Did that rhyme? I don't know. That was good, though.
Yeah,
I like
Sooner Jr. Sooner Jr. I was going to ask you guys an MMA question.
It's not his thing. He listens to Slim Whitman.
Very good, by the way. Very good, by the way.
I was going to ask you guys an MMA question if I can.
Yes.
I was so disappointed in Gilbert Burns yesterday. Did you guys get a chance to watch that?
Yeah, I did. I caught that yesterday. You know, Gilbert Burns looked really good early on in that fight. He caught him with a big right hand, stunned Kamaru Usman. And I tell you what, I thought if he followed it up, I mean, Kamaru Usman was hurt for a good part of that round. Kamaru Usman's just tough. He's just tough. And he's got a gas tank for days. And if you can't, you know, if you tire in that fight, if you get tired, you show him a little bit, he's going to wear you down. He's a tough, tough guy to fight, man. And he's another guy that always seems to figure his people out. He's another guy that, you know, you've seen him in tough spots, and he always is able to figure his guy out. This is a guy he trained with. This is a guy who knew him. They knew each other really well. He dominated that fight yesterday. That was he looked good yesterday, man. He really did.
He's a problem.
I don't even think it was so much bad that other guy was had an off night or anything like that. I just think that Usman is that much better than everybody else in that division.
He's so tough, man.
He's beat everybody. Who's next for him? He's got to move up, right? I mean, who's next? He wants. He's talking about Jorge Masvidal and everything like that. I get that, but he's already beat him.
He faced him already.
You know,
he faced Jorge Masvidal.
Yeah, he already beat him. But he said that Masvidal's complaining because it was 3 weeks or whatever. But I don't think it matters. I mean, he's beating everybody in that division, no question.
Could Khabib fight? Where you think he's going? I don't know. Too small.
Yeah, Usman's a big guy.
Were you guys
guy.
Upset
Usman's
about
big,
the?
Were
you guys upset about Joe Smith Jr.'s opponent backing up?
I was devastated. I wanted to see that fight so badly.
I talked to Robert. Ringside Robert didn't know that happened, and he texted me last night. Or I guess it was around midnight. He was saying, "What happened to Joe Smith Jr.? How come? You know, is he not fighting or whatever?" And I says, "Yeah, his opponent pulled out. COVID. You know." Yeah, I was really irritated with that. That kind of bummed me out this weekend, I got to be honest with you. I wasn't really looking forward to any. That was the fight I was looking forward to most. But
Ringside Robbie's hating ass, man, trying to throw shade at Tom Brady. Oh, I don't want to see Tom Brady win 7. Too bad!
It was a goat, son.
Yeah! You and your hating ass, Ringside Robbie, you can't stop the realness.
I love Brady.
We still love him.
He has the hottest wife of all time. Also, you gotta love Brady. Like,
wow, that was disrespectful.
What do you mean? That was disrespectful.
Boston's a sport. Boston's a sports town. We have the Celtics. We got the Patriots, the Red Sox, the Bruins. We got dynasties all over this place, man.
Yeah. Yo,
dynasties
Beeb, but
everywhere.
You know what, though? Beeb, you know what? New York beat you 2 times.
Rocky Marciano's from Boston.
Hagler.
Rocky Marciano.
Hagler.
Hagler.
Isn't Mickey Ward from Boston?
Mickey Ward?
Yeah.
Isn't he from Boston?
Yeah, Mickey Ward.
Mickey Ward?
Peter
Mc-
yeah.
Yeah, he's from Lowell. Mm-hmm. Lowell, Massachusetts.
That's what I thought.
Peter McNeely? We got them all.
Yeah, you just lost me there, son.
He lost me there, son. He gave Tyson all he could handle for that one round.
For 30 seconds. Did great.
That was the hottest 30 seconds of Mike Tyson's life. Please.
I guess I got one more question for you guys. So you
sure.
you so
keep them coming.
So this guy gets Call of the Year. But I got you guys an interview with Darnell Boone.
But we still have to pay for your rap battles. We don't even get those for free, Jesse. Don't you understand that? I mean, this is it's an all-around thing
And I put out a bet out there with Brian, and Brian accepted the bet. I mean, like, I should be a...
That was 6 years ago.
Very good show material, by the way.
I should be a front runner for 2021. You know, that's what I'm
leaving
it.
Let's put him on the front runner for 2021. You are on the front runner list for Caller of the Year for 2021.
Okay.
What do you think?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Good deal. All right, Jesse. We're going to get rolling here. Little does Jesse know there is no list for Caller of the Year, so he's front runner there. There's no list, Beeb. None.
Just pick it out of thin air. We pick him out of a hat.
Did you watch his rap battle or whatever? I mean, did you paid for it?
Can I tell you something?
You bought it on YouTube for free?
No, I bought it on Vimeo.
Yes.
Did a good job, man.
All right. There you go.
Really did. He had a great stage presence, because battle rap isn't just about your lines; it's your presence on stage. You know, you gotta exude confidence. You gotta show strength. You gotta understand. He went to Connecticut.
All those people, he was going in enemy territory, man. That was like an away game yesterday. So he had a fight. His stuff had to be extra because he was away.
So they talk about each other's moms and stuff like that? I mean, is it like that kind of battle, or is it just...
It gets deep, man.
It's like American Idol or something like that for...
You may not even be able to handle it. It gets so bad, you may not even be able to handle it.
I probably couldn't. I'll be honest with you. I probably couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, I've been in a couple rap battles before, you know. I've been, blazing the mic, you know, and everything like that. Yeah, I've been in a couple rap battles.
Yeah.
For sure. We've got our fair share here in Cincinnati, and I go down
Christmas
there.
Christmas Eve when you wrap those presents. Kind of thing. When you're wrapping those presents Christmas Eve, man, I mean, that's not easy.
It's not easy. Not easy at all. Not easy at all. D-Style, what's up, D-Style, in the chat? I heard you guys got some snow down there, man, over in El Paso, man. I heard you guys got a lot of snow down there. Well, at least
really?
Enough to,
They got snow.
That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing.
Wow, man. I was thinking of moving down there, too, man, just because I wanted to get away from the snow. But
it ain't going to work, son.
I'm going to have to move to Vegas.
Ain't going to work, baby.
I'm going to have to move to Vegas, man. That's what the deal. That's what I got to do.
There you go. Oh, I love Vegas, man.
I love Vegas, man.
We ought to move down to Vegas, man. That'd be awesome. Having a show from Vegas live.
No allergies. No allergies. There's no pollen down there, Eric.
Oh, man.
No dust. Nothing.
Oh, man. You're making me homesick now.
No humidity. We would thrive in there. We'd be in our prime in Vegas, baby.
The warmth, the heat. We're already warm. You know what I mean? We ain't got to get warm. We're already warm.
We would be on another level in Vegas, man.
Yeah. Whole nother level.
What, the Mayweather gym?
Yeah. Yeah, he'd have us there. Why wouldn't he? That'd be awesome. All right, news and rumors. So we got some more information on the Deontay Wilder-Mark Breland front. At least it was new to me. I read it. Deontay Wilder was on 78 Sports, both of them, friends of the show, by the way. Wilder and 78 Sports. Steve, you would concur with that, no?
Yeah. Yeah.
Both friends of the show.
I have nothing against him. He's a good guy.
I like him. He had the following to say about Breland. He said, "It's all making sense now," Wilder said. "Breland has been envying me. He's been jealous. Now it's truly coming out." He said, "You can't break a king. When you're a king, you're a king. A king knows how to get back up and continue to lead because he understands he has people waiting on you to get up, king, and continue to lead us. That is what it is. I'm a king. You want to break your silence to the UK media? Somebody else poured the water? Nah, you did that. This is the end of my career. Man, this is only the beginning of greatness. But for you, it's the end." I got to be honest. Wilder doesn't make a lot of sense anymore when he talks.
Shane, I mean, I don't know. Like, I still have hope for Wilder. But I just – his recent actions, he just seems to be getting worse and worse. I don't even know if this is an act or if this is who he really is. I don't know. Bunny Ranch, yeah. How could Mark Breland be jealous of Deontay Wilder? Obviously, Deontay Wilder's made a ton of money.
Yeah.
Those Fury fights, that's fine. All well and good.
But it's not like Mark Breland has had a lousy career.
Well, Mark Breland's a former gold medalist.
Right.
And he was part of one of the, arguably the best, if not second best, Olympic team of all time. Okay?
Arguably the best amateur in the United States history.
You can argue that he's the best amateur in the history of the sport, in the history of the United States, as you just said. Two-time world champion. What does Mark Breland have to be jealous about? I mean, okay, you probably made more money than he has, but sure. I mean, okay. But in terms of notoriety and a career, like Mark Breland is a Hall of Famer. You know, he, like I said, won a gold medal. You won a bronze. He's a two-time world champion. You are a one-time world champion. He's a Hall of Famer. Not so sure if you're going to go in the Hall of Fame. I'm not saying you won't, but I seriously don't.
I don't think so, man. I don't think he's got the resume.
So if you want to look at Mark Breland's career and stack it up to Deontay Wilder's, I don't even think it's comparable, to be perfectly honest with you, with all due respect.
Yeah.
Now,
again, this is one loss that Deontay Wilder suffered. Can he bounce back from this? Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's see what happens. Is his career over? We don't know. I don't think he ever beats Tyson Fury.
No.
I still think that a fight with Anthony Joshua would be interesting. I'm not sold on Anthony Joshua either. But let's see. Let's see. I still question whether or not he even wanted that third fight, because why would you wait 8 months to go by and then start complaining about not having the fight? I remember, I'll go back, and I did a video on this the other day, when Haseem Rahman and Don King wanted to fight Mike Tyson instead of rematch Lennox Lewis. They tried to break their rematch clause that they had with Lennox Lewis. They tried to break the contract. Immediately, Lennox Lewis sued Haseem Rahman and made sure the fight got done.
Yep.
When Andy Ruiz started saying, mentioning that he didn't want to fight Anthony Joshua in the rematch, Eddie Hearn immediately sent a letter to Al Haymon and Andy Ruiz saying, if you do not go through with this fight, we will sue you.
Yep.
So if Deontay Wilder really wanted this third fight, then all he had to do was take legal action very early. If they kept procrastinating and kept screwing around and kept playing games with Deontay Wilder, why did he allow them to do that to him? Make no mistake about it, Bob Arum really never wanted the third fight to happen. They wanted to go right to a Joshua fight. They didn't want to fight Wilder a third time because they thought that, you know, Arum thought that obviously the Joshua fight was far more lucrative, and I get that.
Yeah.
I don't think Fury was against having the third fight with Wilder, but then after all the things Wilder said about him and stuff, then he's kind of like, why should I fight this guy again? So there was bad blood. So to be perfectly honest with you, do I think Wilder deserves a third fight? Absolutely. He had a rematch clause. Joshua lost, he got a rematch, right? But Wilder did not behave in a fashion that indicates to me or suggests to me that he really wanted the third fight, because he would have been more assertive earlier on, and he wasn't. So it's his own fault.
That's
correct.
Thing. Yes.
Correct.
Absolutely. I think that is the thing, is that he should have been more assertive. Legally, does he have a case here? No, I don't believe he does.
No, now he doesn't.
Clearly, he doesn't, because if he did, we wouldn't be having the Fury Joshua fight.
Yeah,
it's that simple. Listen, if anybody, when Rahman won that title and he wanted to fight Tyson or whatever, and he didn't want to fight Lewis again, if anybody could have got out of that contract, it would have been Don King. And every, you know what I mean? Don King and his lawyers and everything like that. If they couldn't break
it, lost in court.
100% they lost in court. Now, if they can't break it, neither can Tyson Fury's guys. All right? The bottom line is, from what we understood and everything I've read, the contract ran out. The contract ran out, and you did not renew it. And then he's free. He can't just sit here and wait.
Bob Arum told me that it expired in October.
Yeah, that's it. So that's game. You know, a lot of people saying Wilder doesn't want to come back, and I don't know, you know, again, and nobody knows that. But I'll tell you what, though. Charles Martin, that talk of that fight, because he was supposed to come back and fight Charles Martin, that was the rumored fight ready to happen. You know, you hear all kinds of things, everything like that. I don't know what's true, what's not. All I know is that talk of that fight has really cooled off. That's what I know. I know that talk of that fight has really cooled off.
Well, Charles Martin's ranked number two by the IBF. And guess who's ranked number one? Nobody. There's a not rated next to number one in the IBF.
You know.
So Charles Martin could easily maneuver into that number one spot.
Yeah.
Does he really need to fight Deontay Wilder? Why not wait? Why not just wait till he make him the number one contender again?
Yeah. He's not going to fight Joshua again. They're not going to put him in there with Joshua, and he's not going to fight. You know, I mean, there's only aside from Anthony Joshua, Charles Martin's people know this. You know, they know this. That's the biggest money fight.
Correct. But that's why Wilder wants to fight Charles Martin so he can get that rank, so he can get that number one ranking in the IBF.
But from everything I've heard, again, it's Wilder cooling that fight. And, you know, I've heard the same thing. Yeah, we've heard, you know, the rumor going around was he asked for too much money. Now, whether that's the case or not, that I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
Well,
but
people are going to understand. In October, Wilder's going to be 36.
That's you're on the dark side of your career. I mean,
he's turning the corner.
That's very old in boxing speak.
He suffered torn biceps in both arms, okay, right and left, okay. Had multiple injuries, had hand injuries, forearm injuries, eye injuries. This guy's very injury prone. I think his body at this point is starting to break down, okay. I don't see him getting better with time. I think he's at that point. It's like Andre Ward retired at 35. And the main number one reason why, he said, because my body was starting to break down. Okay? Wilder's the oldest out of all three of these guys. He's older than Joshua, and he's older than Fury. Okay? And he's the most injury prone. Okay? You never hear of Joshua or Fury suffering any injuries where they had to pull out of fights or, you know, get surgeries or anything like that. Wilder's had multiple surgeries. He's had a lot of wear and tear on that body.
Yeah.
Okay? So I just don't see how he's going to come back and be better. I don't see it. I could be wrong. Part of me hopes that I am wrong. But let's see. I don't think he has more than two years tops left in him.
No, I'm thinking a couple of fights left, and that's it. I really do.
He's got about three or four more fights, which equates to about 2 years. I think he's got 2 years left, and he's done.
I don't even know he has three or four more fights. I really be honest. You'll have to see him. We'll have to see him. I don't know, because he looked horrendous the last time I saw him, and he hasn't fought since then.
Not only that. All of the fights leading up to that fight, he was losing them all until he landed that one punch.
Mm-hmm.
So once he's not able to land that one punch again, he's going to start losing decisions.
And what is going on with it? I think there's something like wrong with him. I really do. I don't think he's in it. And again, this has got to be, maybe it's a character, maybe he's playing a role, maybe he's playing bad guy boxer, maybe he's playing, you know, I don't know. But when he's talking about, you know, you can't break a king, when you're a king, you're a king, you know, a king knows how to get back up and lead, and I'm your king, you know. I don't know if that's an act or he's really, like, reading his own press clippings or what. I don't know.
Listen, this isn't a Marvel comic book. You're not a superhero.
Well, if he is, he can't wear the costume because he blamed his costume on the loss. So
you're not a WWE character. This is real life. This is real life here, okay? You're a grown man. You'll be 36 soon. There's no need to be carrying on, you know, with this type of behavior. This is how teenagers act, okay? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if this is arrested development or what the hell this is right now, but there's, like you said, there is something wrong here, in my opinion.
No evidence that water was spiked.
Nothing.
No evidence.
Now he's sitting there talking all this trash about Breland, and Breland's just supposed to sit there and take it. Now that Breland responds, all of a sudden, like, oh, well, why is Breland saying this? Why is Breland saying that? Well, because you talk shit about him first.
Yeah, it's just a weird dynamic. There's fights out there for him, and Eddie Hearn has talked about him fighting Dillian White, which I think is, you know, and Eddie Hearn said it's probably one of the biggest fights in the division. I agree. It's one of the biggest fights you can make right now. Still no Wilder. Listen, what are you waiting for? Honestly, what are you waiting for? You got Dillian White. They can make that fight in a minute. You got Andy Ruiz. That's the easiest fight to make. You got Charles Martin. That's an easy fight to make. What are we doing here?
Let's just look at the history. He never fought Vladimir Klitschko. Okay? He's made no attempts to ever unify this title. Okay? Joseph Parker, okay, Joseph Parker chose to fight Joshua, so that's why he didn't fight Joseph Parker. Okay, whatever. But the Anthony Joshua fight was presented to him five times. He turned that fight down. They gave him five contracts. They presented him five contracts. And he turned the fight down with Joshua five times. So if there's such a problem with getting this fight made and paying Wilder what he wants to get paid, just like when Floyd Manny fought, you know, Floyd was paid by Showtime, and Manny Pacquiao was paid by Bob Arum and HBO. Mm-hmm. So why doesn't PBC step up or Showtime step up or Fox step up and just take care of Wilder's share then? Why doesn't someone get behind Wilder? Why is it Eddie Hearn's responsibility? So if you're going to allow Eddie Hearn, okay, to be the lead promoter, and you're going to allow him to be the guy that puts up the money, he's taking all the risk, then of course he's going to have a say in how much you're going to make.
Mm-hmm.
Unless your promoter or your network or, you know, the people you're affiliated with, let them put up the money.
Yeah.
How come no one's invested in him? Showtime was paying him peanuts for years. For years they were paying him peanuts. $2 million, $1.5 million, right?
Yeah.
And only until he had that DAZN deal on the table did Showtime finally pay him. And if DAZN never made that offer to him, then Showtime would have kept paying him those small purses that they were – not small purses, but small purses in comparison to what everyone else is paying, right? So it took DAZN to offer him that $120 million – before they were able to up the ante on what they were paying him.
You know, I just think...
No. Go ahead.
My thing was, you know, even if we could talk about money and everything like that, but the bottom line is there's something, you know, again, if he was so eager to come back, where is he at? You know what I mean? You say you're going to fight again, blah, blah, blah. You've got nothing lined up. And when they put, you know, the rumor is when they put Charles Martin in front of him, which is a very, very good comeback fight for him. Because Charles Martin is not known for his defense. Very good fight for him. I can't picture Charles Martin outboxing him for too long. You know what I mean? The rumor is that he wanted to get paid a lot more than what he was getting. You know, listen, man.
Coming off a loss and you're not the champ anymore, bro.
Right. That's the easiest. If you're going to make a fight, man, that is the easiest fight to make. That or Andy Ruiz. Those are the easiest fights to make for you. The Andy Ruiz fight is going to get you a lot of money. The Dillian White fight will get you a lot of money.
But here's the pattern, if you notice. He didn't want to fight Dillian White. He didn't want to fight Joshua. He didn't want to fight... You know, Povetkin, even though he popped positive, right? He never got that second chance like Ortiz, because Ortiz popped positive twice, but
yeah,
he should be able to fight him twice, right?
All fairness, I wouldn't have gave Povetkin. I wouldn't have gave him another shot either. But I wouldn't have gave Ortiz, you know, yeah.
Well, but again, it's hypocrisy if you're going to give Ortiz a shot.
I agree.
So to me, the pattern, and this is just my own theory, and I could be wrong here, seems like he just doesn't like fighting guys who can punch. Because Povetkin has several one-punch highlight reel knockouts. So does Dillian White. So does Joshua. So does Klitschko.
And Ruiz.
Can there be a coincidence here? Like he avoids guys who are big punches. Or he seems to not fight guys who are big punches. Name one guy on his record that's really a big puncher. That's a one-punch knockout artist. Name one guy on his record that can put the lights out. Don't say Luis Ortiz because he's not a one-punch knockout guy either.
No.
He's going the distance with guys like Malik Scott. Right? Luis Ortiz.
He hasn't had, you know, but I will say this. Anybody in the heavyweight division can hit, and they can all put you away.
But these other guys can hit harder. These other guys are more dangerous, in my opinion.
Yes. Dillian White can put you away with one shot.
So can Povetkin.
Right.
So can Joshua.
Yep.
So can Klitschko.
Yeah.
So there's a common trait in all these fighters that he seems to not fight. And then they can say whatever they want. Oh, Povetkin pop positive, whatever. So did Ortiz twice, but you still fought him and you fought him twice. So why does Ortiz get a second chance and Povetkin never does? And this is Povetkin is a guy who fought Klitschko, who fought Joshua, who fought Dillian White. This guy fought everybody.
Yeah.
Okay?
I always thought that when AJ took Klitschko, I always thought that should have been Wilder's fight. I really did. I always thought that Wilder should have went that route and took him. And yeah, but let's face it. I mean, if you look at AJ, and I've said this all along, and I, you know, a lot of people just kind of downed it. When we talked about resumes, AJ had a better resume than Wilder. And everybody says, well, Wilder can beat anybody on AJ's resume. Maybe. But you haven't fought those guys. He's fought top-tier guys, man. AJ has fought top-tier guys since he won the title.
But here's another thing. Deontay Wilder was that WBC champion for 5 years. 5 years.
Yeah.
And he's never made one attempt to unify that title in 5 years. Not one.
He's talked. You know, they talked about the Joshua fight, everything like that. But, yeah, but you know, but look at the management, though. Okay, look at the management. Because Joshua did that. Joshua unified those belts. You know, I mean, he got those belts together. He got those unification fights. Why couldn't Wilder do the same? You got to look at his management at that point, right?
I have to take my hat off to Eddie Hearn, as much as I criticized him in the past.
Yeah.
He's a good promoter.
He is.
He's a good promoter. He's an outstanding promoter, you know. And he's a hard worker. And he tries to do right by the fighters as well as try to put the best fights on. You know, he tries to present the best of both worlds for everyone involved.
He always gets his fighters fights that, like, you know, like I said, like these unification fights. He puts them in good positions. I mean, he really does. That thing with Charles Martin and Anthony Joshua, he put Anthony Joshua in a choice position because we all knew Joshua was going to beat him. But we didn't know if Joshua was ready, and he slowly built him up. His next fight was against Brazil. His next fight was against whatever, you know, and he just kept building him.
And
he did a great job, man.
And Eddie Hearn always sends the proper paperwork to the sanctioning bodies to make sure that Joshua doesn't get stripped. They've worked hand in hand to make sure that Joshua always was in the best position possible. Really?
Yeah.
They did a great job with Joshua.
They did. They brought him along really well. They really did. You can't complain too much. You know, and when he lost, they had a rematch clause. They brought him along again. And Joshua, he didn't sit out a year. He didn't wait for anything. He said, just get me the fight. And they did. And he did a great job in the rematch, and he won the rematch. You know, I don't understand, like, where he's coming from here. I don't understand what he's doing. And I don't know that anybody else is either. I'll be honest with you. I don't know.
He just seems lost. As soon as he had that draw with Fury, he should have went right to Joshua. Shouldn't have rematched Fury.
Bad judgment. You know, and again, I don't fault – you can fault. I mean, he's got to bear some of the fault. You know, he's got to bear some of the responsibility here because it's him and it's his career. But his handlers have been awful. This guy, you think about this guy, all right? He is a marketing dream. From a promoter's standpoint, he is a marketing dream. All right? He really is. If you talk to this guy for 5 minutes, this guy has got, like, the gift. He's got that thing. He's got that charisma, that X factor that makes you want to talk to him. He's very likable. He's funny. He's got everything going for him. Why wasn't this guy a bigger star? I say the same thing about Hank Lundy. You talk to Hank Lundy for 5 minutes, this guy is just – I don't understand why he never became a huge star. I don't get it. And it's just lack of promotion.
It's weird.
Lack of management.
It's weird, man.
It really is. Lack of management. All right, let's go to the phones here. 602, this is Phoenix, I think.
Yo, what's up,
602,
man?
You're live. Good. Is
Yo,
it Brandon
yeah,
from Phoenix?
Yeah, it's Brandon.
What's happening, man?
Ain't nothing much.
Good,
man.
Good.
I had to call him, man. My boy Laura went in there and put some hands on that young man. He put hands on him.
Did you have Laura?
Well, you know, man, I have to give this to the great YouTube boxing and call-in show icon, Nelta. Nelta called this one because he's been hyping this guy up for years. And I've seen him. I've seen him beat the shit out of somebody on a PBC undercard. And, I mean, when I say he beat the shit out of him, he beat him up like, you know, when Better B beat up Tavares Cloud, he just walks in the ring and just beat him up, you know. So I said, man, this guy can punch. And Warrington likes to block punches with his face. So I wasn't surprised.
That's great, man. I was shocked. I was shocked. I did not expect that.
Steve, what you think of the upset?
Words can't even describe. I was an utter shock. I did not see that coming.
No.
I did not see that coming. No. Not at all.
Oh, well, you know,
but like I said, I'm not disappointed. I'm not disappointed it happened either.
No.
Yeah. Well, Warrington's been hiding out over there for a while, and he hasn't fought really. Did he ever fight? Did he fight Frampton, or that never happened?
No, he beat Frampton. He beat Frampton.
You beat Frampton.
I don't like the fact that Kid Galahad never got a rematch. That pissed me off.
No, yeah, that was irritating.
Yeah.
I also don't like the fact that Kid Galahad got ripped off in that fight too, man. That pissed me off as well.
But that fight, it wasn't an appealing fight though. The way I remember that fight.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I actually enjoyed the fight. I'll be honest with you. If you didn't like it, I respect your opinion.
I actually enjoyed the fight. I can't remember, dude. It was a while ago. I've had a lot of water under the bridge since then, man. So, you know, you could be right.
It was a tactical fight. Mm-hmm. It was a tactical fight. Don't get me wrong, but that's why I liked it.
Okay. No. Well, fair enough. But yeah, so I mean, it was a great fight to see. You know, in these days of boxing right now, man, it's just dry out there. You know, I don't know how you guys honestly still do this show with the consistency that you do it, because
we love it,
mind,
bro.
It's just not that
we good. Love it.
We're very good at what we do.
yeah, man. I mean, there's just not that much good boxing content out there, in my opinion, to be talking about this shit this much. But you guys make it happen somehow, man. So shout out to y'all, man.
Yeah, there's not.
The show is done off of pure talent.
off the strength. All right, man. Well, I'm out of here, man. Y'all be safe. Yeah. All right, man.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for stopping by, brother.
All right. 805. 805, you're live.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's happening?
Nothing much.
Let me find out against Brady too. Let me find out you bet against Brady too, you hater.
Calm down,
Ron
Boss. Just because you eat avocado ice cream like your boy Tom Brady doesn't mean that you're just like him.
Very underrated dessert. Very underrated.
Yeah. Anyway. Laura Warrington fight, like, the thing I didn't get was after he got dropped, and he got dropped hard in the fourth round, you could see that his legs were pretty much shot at that point.
Yeah.
Gone.
And the fact that
his corner let him go out there
for another four rounds was absolutely criminal.
Wow.
Like, it was unbelievable. It was like, dude, he had no legs whatsoever after that first knockdown. And he just basically took a beating for almost five rounds until he got laid out again. I don't think Warrington's ever going to be the same. I hate to say it, but that might have been
I don't think
career.
So either. I'll be honest. I don't think so
beating.
Either. Not after that.
Yeah.
That was a tough, tough loss for him. And he took
a
beating.
That was a beating.
Yeah, that was horrible. He should fire everybody in his corner for letting him get beat down like that. It was awful.
Oh, stop it, Nacho. Come on, those people got jobs. They need a family. It's COVID.
For once in his life is right. For once in his life is right.
Babe.
For once in his life is right. Give him credit.
Oh.
Good for Lara, though. At least now he puts himself in the mix for a couple of, you know, paydays, considering nobody knew who he was, but now he put his name out there, so that's good for him. man, that other fight on that card.
Did you have Lara? Did you have Lara winning this fight? Did you pick Lara to win this fight?
No, I honestly thought this was going to be a tune-up. I didn't think they were picking a guy that was going to be that tough, to be honest with you. I was expecting a guy who, from his box rec, I don't have any recognizable names that he fought, and I'm usually pretty good about, like, knowing who the guys in Mexico are, and I didn't recognize anybody that this guy beat. So I was like, wow, like, this dude literally has not beaten anybody. So I didn't think he was going to be that tough. I was completely shocked.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question now in regards to the fight coming up next week with Adrian Broner and the Santiago kid, Juventus Santiago or whatever his name is.
Taking the upset.
Deeb's taking the upset on this one. I'm going to stick with AB. What are your thoughts on this fight? Do you think it actually, AB, he pulls the upset?
Honestly, I'm only going to pick Broner because Santiago is a completely unknown commodity. And also, Broner, from everything I've seen, he looks like he's been in the gym, like, really, really busting his butt to get into shape. So I don't expect him to struggle to make weight.
Title town, son.
And I think he's going to – I think he's going to show up Saturday, Eric, because I think he knows if he loses, it's a wrap. He's got to know if he loses to this guy.
He's done.
I think his back is against the wall.
Done, son.
And I think he knows it. So I think he's going to come out, and he's going to go out there, and he's going to put on a good performance against this guy who should be beatable. And, you know, I'm sure he'll be back in the mix. I'd be very surprised if Broner lost to this kid. Let's put it that way. And then just really quick with the other card, man, Jack, Marinas, good God, he took a beating as well. That was tough to watch towards the end because it was the same thing. As soon as Comey started hitting him, he had absolutely no resistance whatsoever, and he was just getting beat up. And the fact that they let him get up from that knockdown when you could see he was done, and the ref just let him get laid out. I was like, wow, that's just that was tough to watch that poor kid get knocked out like that. But that's a good win for Comey. Kind of gets him back on the right side of things, and then maybe, you know, he gets a shot at somebody with a bigger name at 35. And then the other fight, Lopez and
Adam Lopez.
Disappointed that, you know, Lopez won. Like I said, you could have picked either guy to win that fight. And then your boy, Eric Anderson, big baby, going out there.
Big
and,
baby Anderson, son. Ohio.
Going out there and making
Ohio,
a statement with that mountain.
Son.
Yeah. So that was big for him.
Rushing it.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a good win for him. Just really quick, the last one with Diaz and Rakhmonov. I honestly thought that Diaz got lucky to get a draw because I honestly thought that Rakhmonov was going to win that fight. I had him up towards the latter third of the fight, and I just think, honestly, he gave that fight away because it looked like he ran out of gas towards the end, and Diaz was able to come back and just basically steal the last few rounds and get a draw out of it. But that was a horrible look for Diaz to come almost 4 pounds overweight and basically didn't even look like he tried. And the worst part about it was the announcers actually said that he told them something along the lines of, because his girl was pregnant and she was eating junk food, apparently he was indulging himself as well instead of actually trying to stay in shape and not eat junk food. And I was like, oh, my God.
So, I don't think that's such a bad thing. I really don't. I don't think that's a bad excuse. I don't think it's a bad excuse at all.
I mean,
you know, Brady comes out bringing his junk food, knowing he's on a diet, you know, knowing he's got to lose weight. I think we got to put her front and center and say, hey, what is she doing here? You know what I mean? You know, he's got to lose weight.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're bringing snacks around and junk food. You know, he's got sympathy pains, too.
Diaz has to show some self-restraint as well, you know? I mean, you can't just put it all on his girlfriend.
I'm going to put it all on his girlfriend. That's unacceptable. Unacceptable.
Always blame the girl. That's what everybody
does.
Everybody always does, man. I mean, the chauvinistic characteristics of this man.
Chauvinistic characteristics. I don't have a chauvinistic bone in my body. Are you kidding me?
It's always the lady's fault.
How dare
Poor thing's going through pregnancy. She's got to nourish the
Nobody
child
asked her to get pregnant. Nobody asked her to get pregnant. I'm just saying.
No. Diaz had nothing to do with that. It was the mailman.
I don't know that. I don't know that. Maybe it was. Maybe she's eating around him. I don't know. This is what it is. You're horrible, babe. What's the matter with you?
Disgrace.
All right, guys.
All right,
that's
Nacho, we're
going to
get rolling here.
Yeah. All right. See you.
All right, man.
Thank you, Nacho.
Thank you, D-Style. He said, AB in Ohio, stand up. That's right. That's how we do it in Ohio, baby. Title town, son. AB is going to destroy this guy next week. It's all over but the crying. Yeah, tempting him with the junk food. See, everybody in the chat agrees with me, babe. You're seeing it right there. I'm keeping it real. People tempting him with the junk food. See? There it is. Cheat day every day.
Not fair.
It's not fair. Babe, it's reality. It's reality, babe. Deal with it. What's the matter with you? I'm sleeping on the couch again after the show, I bet.